I found three frightening ironies in the three simple sentences of this Chico, California Enterprise Recorder letter to the editor. Listen for them, and I quote, "Today when I paid for my child's lunch at school, I asked about the food that was being served. The lunch lady explained that all the canned food is from China because it is really cheap. She showed me the cans and verified the truth. So, did you find the ironies in those three simple sentences?"
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 638th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Perryopolis who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metroforum.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you, because without you, we wouldn't be flying this airplane. Also with us today, we have producers Carol Stafford.
Hello.
And Parmalee Taft.
Hello.
Folks, I recently visited Chico, California with the family to celebrate the graduation with honors of daughter Kelsey from California State University. While there, I picked up a copy of the Chico Enterprise Recorder and turned to the letters to the editor, where I found the following three sentences under the title, School Lunches from China. Today, when I paid for my child's lunch at school, I asked about the food that was being served. The lunch lady explained that all the canned food is from China because it is really cheap. She showed me the cans and verified the truth. No big deal, right? Everything in our day-to-day lives seemingly comes from China because it is really cheap. So get over it, Olson, and move on. But I couldn't move on, and instead tore the letter out of the newspaper, and today it sits here in front of me as subject of this Food Chain radio show. Now, the reason I couldn't simply let the letter go was that in my reading of it, I discovered three very frightening ironies. How frightening? Listen to this. To me, they are more frightening than the events of December 7th, 1941, and September 11th, 2001, combined. Not because of the simple act of opening a few cans of cheap food from China to feed school kids in Chico, mind you, but rather because of what the three ironies contained in the three simple sentences portend for the future of our civilization. Okay, so what's an irony? And why would I know what an irony is anyway? Fair enough. I know about ironies because I studied English and Chinese literature at the University of California and took degrees in both. Now, literature professors, whether in English or Chinese, really don't dwell much about the narrative of a novel. What interests them most are the various constructs authors create to impart meaning. Irony is one of those literary constructs, and literature professors teach their students to sniff them out as if they want all of us to become professional irony-sniffing dogs at the airport. In general, irony involves a contradiction, and that's the key word, between how something appears and its underlying reality. Simple enough, and here's a simple example of an irony and how it was used to impart meaning by author Herman Melville in a seminal Moby Dick. As many of us know, Moby Dick is the story of the whaling ship Pequod and its pursuit of a white whale at the direction of its captain Ahab. While at sea, the Pequod meets the French whaling ship Bouton de Rose, which translates to the English Rosebud. The French name of the whaling ship evokes not only a certain continental air of romance, being French and all, but also literally a beautiful flower with an attractive fragrance, Rosebud. But that's not what the Pequod found in the Bouton de Rose. What the Pequod found instead was a ship that reeked of long dead flesh, as the Bouton de Rose had two whales, weeks dead, lashed to its deck. And thus the irony of finding a beautifully named ship reeking of the smell of death, Melville used this irony to emphasize the foolishness of the Bouton de Rose's captain and crew in a way that kind of transcended what mere narrative could do. I doubt whether the author of the three sentences found in the Chico newspaper intended any irony. Indeed, he or she was simply making an observation about what the child was having for lunch and expressing perhaps a little concern over that lunch. But in Tender to Know, I sniffed out three very frightening ironies in the three simple sentences. And listen for them. I'll read this one more time here. Today, when I paid for my children's lunch at school, I asked about the food that was being served. The lunch lady explained that all the canned food is from China because it is really cheap. She showed me the cans and verified the truth. And yes, I do find these ironies to be more frightening than the events of December 7th, 1941, and September 11th, 2001 combined. Not because of the act of opening a few cans of cheap food from China to feed school kids in Chico, but rather because of what those ironies portend for the future of our nation and our civilization. Your job today, as the listener to this program and my principal guests, is to talk me out of my fear and to tell me that everything is going to be okay. And to tell me why, too, because I need that. Phone numbers today for the Food Chain Radio program are 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. Outside the Central California, you can reach us at 800-624-2665 or 800-624-2665. Now, I'm going to try to lay out these ironies as I see them and have you consider them and call me up and tell me everything is going to be okay. Irony number one, farmers in California's Great Central Valley, the most productive agricultural district and region in the world has ever seen and will ever know, can no longer feed children and thus force valley schools to feed children food canned in China. Think of it, the most productive agricultural district in the world, and it can't grow food for its children. Is that not an irony? I think so. Irony number two, for the United States to be able to buy really cheap things from China, we must borrow the money from China. Now, isn't that an irony? I think so. There's a great contradiction in that. We want to buy cheap food, cheap toys, and cheap everything. And to get that, we have to go into debt to buy it. And we are in debt to China to the tune of $2 trillion. So there is irony number two. Call me up, 831-479-1080, 800-624-2665. And tell me that it's not all that bad. Irony number three, and this I find to be an amazing one as well. The pollution we have eliminated here in the United States by chasing our agriculture and manufacturing away is coming back to us on the trade winds from China. That's right. We get rid of all of our industry and our agriculture because it's dirty and it stinks and it looks funny, it's not attractive, and we chase it away and it goes to China where there really are no rules. And so every day of every year, China is building a new coal-powered power plant and putting it online in order to power the engines of industry to make the things that we want cheap. And so that smoke from those power plants rises up into the air and is picked up by the trade winds and carried across the oceans, and the particulates are precipitated upon our head here in the United States and across our beautiful land. So, there is irony number three. Your job today is rescue me from my fears. I think these ironies are more frightening than just about anything that I can possibly imagine and what they pretend for the future of our country. So, dissuade me of my fears. Come and rescue me. Tell me that everything's going to be okay, that what I'm seeing is not really there. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is the Food Chain Radio program. I am Michael Olson, flying solo with the help of my great crew here on the Good Ship Food Chain Radio. Looking at some ironies that we found in a letter to the editor from to the Chico, California Enterprise Recorder. School lunches from China, it says. Today, when I paid for my child's lunch at school, I asked about the food that was being served. The lunch lady explained that all the canned food is from China because it is really cheap. She showed me the cans and verified the truth. And the truth is very frightening. Pick up your phones and rescue me. I'm at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1980. We will be right back, and hopefully you will be there with us. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson. Right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, folks, this from a letter to the editor to the Chico, California Enterprise Recorder. Today, when I paid for my child's lunch at school, I asked about the food that was being served. The lunch lady explained that all the canned food is from China because it is really cheap. She showed me the cans and verified the truth. I found in these three simple sentences three frightening ironies. Irony number one, farmers in California's Great Central Valley, the most productive farm district in the entire face of the earth, can't compete with China when it comes to feeding their children. What happened to make us so uncompetitive? Irony number two, for the United States to buy really cheap things from China, we must borrow the money from China. We now have borrowed over $2 trillion from China. Who is going to have to pay that money back, and how much will it cost? Irony number three, the pollution we have eliminated here in the United States by chasing our agriculture and manufacturing away is coming back to us on the trade winds from China. There's an irony, isn't it? We get rid of all of the dirty things, and we send them across the seas to China, and the smoke from China lifts up into the sky and is picked up by the trade winds and carried across the oceans and dumps right back on her head, and that's an irony, too. And your job today is to rescue me, because I think these ironies are truly frightening, and hopefully you're going to come and get me and say, it's okay, Michael, and here's why. We're going to start off today by going to Chili Bob, who is one of my favorite characters down there in King City, California, and a producer of no small means. And I'm glad you called Chili Bob, because I'm looking for somebody who can tell me what happened to our farmers so that they can no longer feed our children in school. What's going on?
Well, Michael, thanks for taking my call. And I think the irony of this whole thing is the fact that you want me to rescue you, and I don't think we can. The true irony is that I look at what our state and federal governments are doing. I mean, in regards to food safety, I mean, Dean Flores with his program at the state level and the FDA at the federal level and imposing stricter food safety requirements on an already safe food supply while the same government is cutting back the school budget, so they're forced to buy cheap canned food from China. So, I mean, and where's the scrutiny on that on those products that are going into those cans?
Well, of course,
it's pretty ironic.
Well, help me out here and help the audience understand why our agriculture has become so prohibitively expensive so that it can't compete with Chinese agriculture. We have the Great Central Valley. We have God made America for agriculture. God did not make China for agriculture.
Well, you're right there, but you know it's both regulatory process and all the new laws and regulations that we have on us. Our input costs have gone sky high. You name it. Our costs have gone sky high, and labor's gone up. And this is where China's got us beat. I mean, they could probably spend less on a 100-person crew in a day than we do on one or two people.
So what we have done here is that we have looked at those who labor, and to protect them, we have passed law and regulation and law and more regulation to protect them from unscrupulous employers, I guess. And we have made it so costly now to hire people that California, for example, is becoming a land of 1099s.
Exactly.
Nobody can afford to hire anybody.
Yeah.
So we're becoming a land of 1099s. And of course this increases the costs of our food. We continually pass all kinds of laws. We pass laws on the use of land, the use of labor, the access to fuel, the environment, and on and on and on. And all of these things raise are just put on the costs. Companies don't pay these; they just put it on the costs of their goods, and consumers pay them.
Well, consumers pay them, but they're not paying incrementally. They're not paying what those costs are actually passed on to the growers. The growers are absorbing most of this cost, and the buyers are refusing to pay those incremental costs because, I mean, you look at the buyers nowadays, Michael, compared to what it used to be 20, 30 years ago, you've got a handful of major buyers in the country.
Right.
And they put the competition, it's very strict competition. Everybody's competing for the same marketplace. And so you've got, you know, the Costco's and the Walmarts of the world and the McDonald's who are buying so much product that they can afford, to put, you know, this is what you're going to pay. This is the price. This is the price we're going to pay you for this product. And you look at your bottom line, and it's go, wow, I'm making maybe a half a cent on a dollar here if I'm lucky. If all the chips fall correctly, my margin is so slim. But you're in competition with thousands of other producers for the same contracts. And so what do? You're bowing down and you're doing what they want you to do. But they can buy the product so much cheaper from China than they can in the United States. We're absorbing this, so the smaller farmer is going by the wayside. The smaller farmer's only chance is to go with these farmers' market items and local markets, but they cannot really sell to the national or international food scene.
That's right. I think agriculture, like all industries in the United States, are going in two directions, either very, very big or very, very small.
That's right.
And everything in the middle seems to be toast.
That's right.
Chili Bob, let me ask you about the other two ironies. It seems as though for us to be able to buy all of the cheap things from China that we're buying, we have to borrow. And we've borrowed $2 trillion already. Who is going to pay that money back, Chili Bob?
ask our president. He can answer that question.
Really?
Ask me that, because I guarantee you, I don't know who's going to pay it back. I don't know that it's ever going to get paid back.
Okay, let me ask you about irony number three, the pollution that we have eliminated here in the United States by chasing our agriculture away is literally coming back to us on the trade winds from China. Now, I understand that in a couple of years, the California is going to change its rules on diesel. And this is going to affect all trucks, for example, that come into China more than once a year. And they estimate that the trucking industry in California is going to have to invest over $5 billion to upgrade its fleet of diesel-burning trucks so they don't emit.
Right. Yeah. And
agriculture, you're going to have to face this too, right?
Oh, God, yes, we are. Yeah, yeah. We're in the midst of it now, trying to figure out what do we do with our fleet. You know, we've got a fleet of trucks that are adequate. They're good trucks. But guess what? In a year or two, they're not going to make it anymore. They're not going to pass the
right.
The emission
so Chile,
standards.
Bob, China doesn't have these rules.
No, they don't.
China's building a new coal-burning power plant every day.
Right.
So,
and how about trucks coming into California that want to haul produce to the east? I mean, they're not going to drive across the border if they have to invest $25,000 to $30,000 on their engines just to put some sort of a particulate filter that probably doesn't do much, but it allows you to drive into California. So they're going to stay at the Nevada state border or whatever and say, hey, bring me your produce. Bring me your product.
So this is going to make it even more prohibitive for California agriculture.
California is the best at making rules and regulations that they can't, that there's no long-term benefit to the thing. They don't really understand what's going to happen in the future because of it. And California's business is suffering because of it.
Yeah, well, and we can't feed our children.
No, that's true. That's true.
How does that make you feel as a producer, Chili Bob?
I wish I could take my climate and my soil and move someplace else.
Okay, so Chili Bob, thank you very much for joining us today, folks. This is the Food Chain radio program. We're working on ironies that we found in a letter to the editor of the Chico Enterprise Record under the title School Lunches from China. Today, when I paid for my child's lunch at school, I asked about the food that was being served. The lunch lady explained that all the canned food is from China because it is really cheap. She showed me the cans and verified the truth. What is the truth in this? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Give us a ring. We will be right back after these messages. And that means you, Rory. Well, folks, I was up in Chico, California, and I ran across this little note in the letters to the editor of the Enterprise Recorder. School lunches from China. Today, when I paid for my child's lunch at school, I asked about the food that was being served. The lunch lady explained that all the canned food is from China because it is really cheap. She showed me the cans and verified the truth. I found three huge ironies in this, and frightening ironies in this little snippet from a parent up in Chico. Irony number one, though Chico, California exists or resides right in the midst of the great California Central Valley, the most productive agricultural region on the face of the earth, putting to shame the Nile Delta or the Urubamba of the Inca. Just there's no place like California's great Central Valley for agriculture, and yet the farmers of our great Central Valley can't compete in feeding of our children, and our school districts must now buy food canned in China and shipped all the way across the ocean. What an irony that is. And irony number two, for the United States to be able to buy that food, we're going to have to borrow a lot of money. And today we've borrowed already $2 trillion, and we're going to borrow trillions and trillions more. And who is going to have to pay that money back? It's going to be those children we're feeding canned foods from China. That's going to be who's going to have to pay it back. And, of course, all of the things that we do to make a really clean country here, the environmental restrictions and whatnot, the resulting in chasing away our agriculture and our industry, and of course it all goes to China. And is China being kind to their environment? Not in the least bit. They're opening a new coal-burning power plant every day. And that smoke rises up from the industrial Chinese heartland, and it catches the trade winds, and it comes back, and here we are. So rescue me from these ironies. Rory, help me out. Tell me it's not all that bad.
It's that bad, Michael.
You're not going to rescue me at all, are you, Rory?
You know what? You're the one that said cheap food isn't, right?
Yeah. And Michael Olson's third law of the food chain, cheap food isn't.
And the thing is, I agree with your previous caller, I think it was Bob. We're operating under a lot of self-imposed restrictions.
Well, that seems to be where a lot of the problems are coming from here. You know, we want to have, we want to protect our labor, so we make it so costly to hire people that nobody can hire anybody anymore.
Well, and that's some of it, but, you know, we can up our efficiencies, like in the berries, we can find more productive varieties, so they
yeah.
use cost per item goes down, so we can manage some of the increased costs, But when you start, like for the Central Valley, when you start cutting off their water for the Delta smelt,
right?
You know, you're killing them. You make them.
Does China cut off the water for the smelt?
What's that?
Does China cut off the water for the smelt?
Boy, they're building more dams. Not only are they building coal-fired plants that if you put scrubbers on them, they'd be fine. But we know they're not doing that. But they are building a lot of dams. So they're acquiring more water resources, not fewer. And
which means they're becoming more competitive, and we're becoming less competitive, correct?
And I want to know who's canning that food. Is it Nedley's, Green Giant? Who's making the money there? And I've cut them off. I mean, I don't buy this. I can get it cheaper from China. Nonsense. We definitely have to turn this ship around. We got to go back to being basic manufacturers and suppliers.
Rory, you're a parent. Who's going to pay this money back that we're borrowing from China?
Well, it looks like our kids are going to be saddled with it, and our kids' kids. And if not, we're going to default, and then we're all going to pay because our currency will be worthless.
You're not rescuing me from my fears at all.
Oh, you know what? We can turn the ship around. We've got to tap our own resources. We've got to say yes to drilling for oil in Anwar, yes for offshore oil. We've got to have that access to that first and foremost in the U.S., not drilling there so we can sell it on the open market. I mean, there's got to be a way to turn this thing around to our advantage. We're giving the store away, and it doesn't make sense for the average person. It makes sense for some of the larger corporations. Yeah, the multinationals are making a killing. And I'm not against corporations, don't get me wrong. I'm not against business, but some of this stuff is just ridiculous, and it's hurting the middle class. And you know what, Michael? People want lots of gadgets. They want a lot of distractions. They don't want to grow a garden and can their own vegetables. But hello, you know, you might have to do that.
Okay, and, Rory.
I just want to make that point.
You didn't do a very good job of curing my fears, big guy, but thanks for the call.
If I can make it.
Sure.
We have to recognize that, yes, we have environmental laws. Yes, they're important, but we can't strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. So when we cut off water delivery to productive farm ground because of a small fish that's not really endangered, but that we get the environmental groups go out there and they make a case and they sue the federal agency in charge in court, and then they get these restrictions put on, and it's a game they play.
Yeah.
And now we've got to be smart about
so
this.
Is that not how our production goes to China?
In part, that's how it goes. But you know what? I wouldn't trust anything from China. They grow, you know, there's a lot of little growers, nothing against them, but they don't even label their pesticides. They just put them in packages and put one name on it. You don't know what you're getting.
All right, Corey. Rory, thank you so much for the call, big guy. I appreciate it. Let's go quickly to Martha. Martha says here that
Hello?
You have a ray. Martha says here you have a ray of hope for us. I sure need it. Can you give it to us?
Oh, are you there?
Yeah, here.
Oh, okay. It's the family circle that might have a ray of hope for you. The magazine,
mm-hmm.
I picked it up. Well, I get it in the mail. And I read an article about garden variety giving. A lady and her husband moved from the big city, Chicago, to Idaho because he had a great job. And she was a home taking care of her children, and she decided to grow a garden. And now it started as nonprofit, and they are people up there, farmers, and just people with just, they call it a backyard gardening.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, I think they've been doing this for 2 years. And they're nonprofit. They have $14,000 in the bank. And the people up there that are growing their own vegetables, and then there are senior citizens that have many orchards, M-I-N-I, orchards, and they have fruit that's fallen on the ground. These people are contacted. They go over there and they harvest for them. They come back and they distribute that. They have a website, and it's called backyardharvest.org.
Backyardharvest.org.
Yes, and it is phenomenal what they're doing. And there is an article in the current Family Circle, July Family Circle, about this lady and her husband. Her name is Amy Gray.
Uh-huh. Well, that sounds like some hope. Martha, what do you think? Do you think there's hope?
If you read this article, you will see if everybody starts doing something like this, if they have a parcel of land, and I thought of your program because mm-hmm. you talk about that all the time, it would just mushroom. I mean,
all right, Martha, I got to go here. We're on a break, but thank you so much for that call. That's a great one. There is hope in Idaho, and it's in the Family Circle magazine, and it's called what's the website?
Their website is backyardharvest.org.
Thank you so much, Martha. Backyardharvest.org. It might be that we'll have to go there, right? We will be right back after these messages. 831-479-1080. Give us a call. Well, here's an irony from you. This found in the Chico Enterprise Recorder. A little letter to the editor from a parent who's feeding at school. Listen to this. Today, when I paid for my child's lunch at school, I asked about the food that was being served. The lunch lady explained that all the canned food is from China because it is really cheap. She showed me the cans and verified the truth. In this, I find three ironies. Irony number one, farmers in California's Great Central Valley, the most productive agricultural region in the entire earth, can't feed their children because they're not competitive anymore. What happened to them? Irony number two, for the United States to be able to buy really cheap things from China, we must borrow the money from China. And who's going to have to pay that money back? Those children were feeding canned foods from China. And finally, irony number three, we chase away all of our productive capacity here in the United States to have a clean environment. We get rid of our agriculture because it's dirty, it raises dust, and it smells funny. We get rid of our manufacturing because it pours things into the air. And yet, it all goes to China. And what does China do? Every day, it opens up a new coal-burning power plant to power the engines of industry to satisfy our needs. Irony, irony, irony. Please save me from these ironies. Let's go to Evergreen. Phone numbers today. Oh, here's a interesting fact. Phone numbers today, 831-479-1080. And this from Mary. This is the result of big government making the laws of the land. The government is just made up of city people who don't like bugs, dirt, or washing and preparing vegetables. They are so removed from the earth, and yet they are so misguided to think they are saving it. God save us from our government, and most of all, from the misguided city dwellers who are going to kill us all. Wow. 831-479-1080 and 800-624-2665. Let's go to Evergreen. Yes, his name is Evergreen.
It is indeed. And amen to what you just said about the city folks. They need to get back to reality. And, you know, there's an awful lot of obese people in this country. Apparently it's quite an epidemic. And I say that as long as people are fat, they might as well be sassy.
Yeah, amen to that.
You know, people need to stand up on their own hind legs again and start realizing what's going on. They should get off of their pharmaceutical medications that are keeping them in a delusionary state that thinks that the government's doing the good thing for them.
Well, do you think that parent in Chico, California, finally is coming to the realization that something's really strange? I mean, after all, he or she took the trouble to write anonymously enough to the Chico Enterprise Recorder and just said, you know, how sad is this?
Well, you know, one thing that's nice is you don't have an irony deficiency. Yeah, I know. It is. It's ridiculous that here in the salad bowl of the world, because a few people don't like a few pig smell, manure smells, or a few bugs. That's one of the things I think is really sad about driving into Salinas and in the Central Valley. Go out there and kick the dirt around in one of the fields. Try to find something living in there.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've poisoned everything and pesticided it into oblivion.
Well,
and then they expect us to eat it. And then, because it's cheaper from China, we're supposed to eat that. I just say, oh, one thing that I found out, a person sent me an email today. Mm-hmm. And if you look, when you're shopping in the grocery store, you know those little barcodes?
Yeah.
On different products? A lot of times they're not labeled where they're made, but if these three numbers, you see these three numbers as the prefix to the rest of the barcode, 690, 691, and 692 are all from China. So if you see those barcode numbers, that means it's from China, regardless of...
Well, let me ask you this, Evergreen.
Sure.
The California Great Central Valley is, I mean, God made it for agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the most, geographically speaking, it's the most extraordinary region on the face of the earth.
Exquisitely beautiful.
And it's just incredible. I've seen the Nile Delta, and I've seen the Urubamba River Valley of Peru.
Wow.
Which... you know, gave the Inca its power.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing compares to California's Central Valley.
No.
Why can't... What is happening to us that does not allow us to be competitive with China? What is it?
Allowing stupid politicians to make everything so complicated and oppressive that we're being forced out of the market, basically, and making it hard for farmers. I don't know exactly what the whole reason is, but you know, one of the things that I do, I've got a tiny little yard here in Santa Cruz, but I just let the weeds grow,
mm-hmm.
and I eat some of the weeds, and the ones that I don't want to eat, I pull.
Eat them when they're green.
Pardon me?
Eat them when they're green.
Yeah, I mean, there's this one weed that grows in my yard. It's called lamb's quarters.
Yeah.
That stuff is so incredibly nutritious, and it grows by itself. You don't have to do anything.
Next week, we're doing a show with Mark Kurlansky, who talks about food from a younger land. Stay tuned for that one. Evergreen, thanks for your call.
You know what? I have a movie I want to leave for you.
Sure.
At the station. It's called Growing Awareness, about a cooperative in Washington State that decided to take their power back, and they just built their own organic food business in and among themselves, and they're thriving now. And it's a movie about that. I'll put it in your mail slot or something.
Thanks, Evergreen. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got a couple more minutes left. We have a couple more calls on the line. We'll pick them up when we come back from this quick break, but we're looking for some hope in all of the irony that we find in the news of our food chain, and hopefully you can find some for us, bring some hope to us. Haven't had much from the callers today, but maybe you see some hope out there. School lunch from China. Today, when I paid for my child's lunch at school, I asked about the food that was being served. The lunch lady explained that all the canned food is from China because it is really cheap. How sad is that? She showed me the cans and verified the truth. Right back. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson. A few minutes left and so many conversations to have in so little time, so let's get to it. Let's go quickly to Craig. Craig, welcome to The Food Chain. Rescue me from my ironies.
Yeah, Michael, I'm just a local yokel from San Jose.
Well, I'm a yokel too, so we're all local yokels when it gets right down to it.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever heard of, forget the eating dog food from China, you ever heard of pyramid farming?
Pyramid farming?
Pyramid.
Pyramid farming. No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's growing, it's new, kind of a newer idea, growing stuff vertically.
Right.
Where you build a man-made mountain or man-made pyramid, at, you know, to save space. If we're running out of agricultural space,
mm-hmm.
you build these mountains, and you know how you just grow.
Yeah, my friend Jock Schmidt from Urban Agriculture is doing a lot of those kinds of things. I think at Cornell, maybe, I think they're working on that as well. There's people working on it all over. Craig, let me ask you this really quickly. We only have a couple minutes left. Who's going to pay for all of this money that we're buying, borrowing from China to get cheap stuff?
We're just going to get Obama to borrow $50 more trillion.
Who's going to pay for it?
Hey, that's no problem. You know, it just print more money like he does. We'll just get them to print more paper money.
But that just destroys the currency for whoever comes next, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. Just ask Obama.
Well, okay. Thanks for the call, Craig. Appreciate it. Let's go quickly to Bob in Watsonville. Bob, thanks for tuning in The Food Chain. Rescue me from my ironies.
You've got a lot of topics to talk about, Michael, and not much time. But I offered to offer a ray of hope. And
oh, please
do.
I
have to defend some city people, too. There's a booming, growing business called agritourism, which
right.
is not an answer in itself, but it's indicative that people do appreciate the small diversified farm. I mean, they're not going to want to visit Harris Ranch or a Salinas.
Right. Who's going to want to visit a 10,000 acre tomato farm, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And the people, you know, who visit our farm, it's not, we don't have a business, an agritourism business, but we have a lot of people visit anyhow. They appreciate the manure smell and so on to some extent. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, a small farm doesn't smell that bad, especially compared to a confined animal feeding operation.
Right.
There's an ungodly stench. So there is hope, but on the other hand, it looks like the Obama administration is going to nationalize the atmosphere, and any farmer producing carbon dioxide is going to be taxed for it.
So, you know, I was asked to give a speech on cap and trade last week to a local Rotary, and so when I looked into cap and trade, I got even more frightened than I am today, which is, I'm a scared boy.
Yeah.
Cap and trade, we're going to cap carbon emissions, which means CO2. So what is CO2? What you breathe in is oxygen. What you breathe out is CO2. So
the plant needs to grow.
Yes. So whoever is emitting an egregious amount of CO2 is going to have a cap put on them, and they're going to have to pay the government for the right to emit CO2. So the government will decide who is egregious and who is not. Maybe, Bob, you are egregious.
Could very well be, because they're not interested in the scientific truth of who's emitting carbon, who's sequestering it. They want the tax in order to pay for other programs like...
Well, Bob, we're running out of time, but thank you for the call, and thank you for the ray of hope. We really appreciate it. Folks, this has been The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio. And remember, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.